we remain with our eyes closed in an attitude of prayer. This morning as I was getting ready, I was praying and asking the Lord, Lord, give me a word, Father. And he gave me a word and I kept thinking, oh no, this can't be right. This can't be right, Lord. It's my imagination. But as I came here, the Lord started prompting again and it became stronger and stronger. And what God was saying is, I think there's someone here. Either you feel betrayed or you're the one who betrayed. But I have a feeling it's more like you feel betrayed. And God was saying this morning when I was praying, he said, you know, Jesus, knowing Judas, he chose Judas. For 3 years he walked with Jesus and still he betrayed Jesus. We always look for perfection in people. God only wants a willing heart. And like we sang this morning, there's restoration in God. And God says we are covered, but we are covered by his grace. So if you're feeling condemned or if you're feeling betrayed, God wants you to walk into that grace he has for you. To be healed this morning, not to go back the same way you came. Our God is a God of restoration. That's the beauty of our God. And that's why we worship our God. Because he's a true and living God.
Okay, so if you were not here last Sunday, I would encourage you to go to our website and listen to the message there, because the message that I delivered last Sunday was a message for this year. And as a church, whenever we come to the beginning of an year, God does speak through us and he gives us a theme. He gives us something to go on. Because as you know, if you're not ready, if you're not prepared, if you don't have a goal in mind, you kind of aimlessly walk around, correct? How many know that? If you have no goal in your career, if you have no goal in your studying, you'll just be aimless, correct? You won't get anywhere. So when it comes to the beginning of an year, God just sets, he doesn't give you the whole picture. He just sets something in place, and that's on the website. I want you to go to our website and listen to it. It's there in text, and it's there in voice as well. You hear my dulcet tones yet again. There were two things I spoke about last Sunday. And the first thing was about the harvest. And the harvest means people. Tell the neighbor, that's you. And not only you, but it's the harvest which is out there. Okay? So the first thing is about the harvest. And the second thing is about thanksgiving. It's, in other words, having a grateful heart. Having a grateful heart. Because many times I believe, as even as Christians, we forget to thank God for what we have. We focus on what we don't have, and we get miserable about what we don't have, and we fail to thank God for what we have. Because what we have is simply amazing. Am I right? If you look at what it is, like that hymn says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and you will be surprised at what the Lord has done. So his goal is good to count your blessings rather than not. Count your blessings. I wonder, how many of us here are looking forward to something, for something different to happen in 2019? Hallelujah, that's good. Because that's a good sign, a good indication. Because who wants the same old, same old? Mm-mm. We want something new and something fresh. How many of us are seeking to impact the lives of those around us? How many would like to impact the lives of those around us? I know I do. That's why I come every Sunday. That's why I do what I do. Because I want to see lives around us change. I mentioned this last Sunday that when we are focused on people, the focus on yourself gets less. Or it lessens. When you focus on people or focus on others, the focus on you gets less. And so we have got to focus on the harvest. The harvest are the people. Yeah. There's a scripture in Luke's gospel, also mentioned in Mark's gospel, where Jesus talks about the harvest. He said, the harvest is plentiful, correct? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And then it says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. I like that. He is the Lord of the harvest. Harvest is not mine. It's mine to take, but the Lord of the harvest is God himself. He's the Lord of the harvest. And what he says is, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. We are harvesters for the kingdom of God. And if you come on a Wednesday, you will get some teaching and understanding about what the kingdom of God is. Because that's what Jesus came for. If things are always surrounding our needs and wants, it is, and if it's always about me, 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 then we have missed the plot. If it's surrounding ourselves, if life is only about me and not about the people, we are missing a vital ingredient in our lives. And you know something? We can easily, very easily get caught up in this trap of all, it's all about myself. Self-centeredness or self-focused lifestyle. Now, you may have seen some people who only think about themselves, correct? How many have met people like that? They only think about themselves and their little family. That's it. Nobody else matters. But Christ hasn't called us to such a lifestyle. Our lives are to be spent out for people. Because if we cannot and if we don't impact the lives of people, I would just say that our living is in vain. Because we just live for ourselves. We've had decent life. We've had all the comforts. And we die. And then if you're born again, you know Jesus, you'll end up in heaven. But otherwise, we know where we'll go. But what's the point of that? If we haven't changed something, if we haven't done something in humanity, for humanity, in society, if nothing of our lives has impacted or done or something, changed someone's life, what's the whole point of living? I just want to highlight that this morning, that this year, the focus of this year has to be not ourselves. Tell yourself that it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about people around me. And I'm going to impact people around me so that they come to know Jesus. It is not enough for us to enjoy life in Christ whilst others are going to a lost eternity. Let's look at Galatians 6. I love this passage of scripture. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7. It's a beautiful scripture. I'm reading from the Message. It says this: don't be misled. Don't be misled or deceived. Some of your Bibles say deceived. No one makes a fool of God, or God cannot be mocked. That's what some versions will say. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he left to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the groweth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So the first thing we know from the passage of Scripture is that you and I, we have a guaranteed harvest. How many of us want to be harvesters? How many of us want to be want to harvest? How many of us want to see the fruit of our labor? How many of us really want to see some results? I'm sure that in the corporate world, and I work in the corporate world, those of you who know me, yes, I'm a full-time pastor, but also I'm a full-time employee of a pharmaceutical company. And so from Monday to Friday, I am out there meeting with doctors and talking to them about medicines. On Sundays, I'm preaching the gospel. But the thing that I want to say is that in a corporate world, so I understand the corporate world because I'm in it. In the corporate world, they would always want you to write your goals. They would want you to be motivated. They would want you to put down your objectives for the year. Why? Because they want a workforce that is profitable, a workforce that is focused, a workforce that is committed, a workforce that know where they're going. Because they don't want you to get onto the field and say, okay, do whatever you like. No company will say that, correct? They will say, oh, here we are. I'll pay you a nice salary. Do whatever you like. No. They will give you exactly what they want done. And they will say, now you need to take that on board and apply your own objectives, in other words, your action steps, to what you want to achieve. This is the target. You got to put in place an action plan to reach this target, correct? That's what happens in the corporate world. They know that if every individual is motivated to achieve, then the whole company wins. And I want to bring that to the church. If every one of us here is motivated to win the loss for Jesus Christ, we will all be winners. And we will have a church that is packed out. We'll have a church that is filled up. We won't have those screens at the back. We'll have to take the screens outside because so many people will be flooding into this place. Why? Because we have a motivation to do something in the kingdom of God that has been different to 2018. Moving into 2019, we're saying, God, I'm serious about your kingdom. I'm serious about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to live this life on my own. I don't want to live it in a selfish attitude or nature. I want to make sure that every day that my life impacts the lives of people around me. The Bible is very clear. What a person plants, he will harvest. What a person plants, he will harvest. And sometimes we forget that. We forget the principle of sowing and reaping. I thank God that earlier on in my life, I understood the principle of sowing and reaping. And by sowing the right seed in my life, it was not perfect, but the right seed, what I reap out of that seed that has been sown is something good, something that lasts. And so it's so important to understand and know what are we sowing. Because what we sow will bring out a result, good or bad. The question is, how much time and energy do we spend planting, sowing, or investing in the lives of others? The scripture says that don't be misled or deceived. You cannot make a fool of God. God knows our hearts. We cannot put one up on God. We put it that way. We can't get better than who He is. Or have one up on him. And here it is, the degree to which we are willing to invest into the lives of people will determine how big a harvest we are going to have. The degree to which we are willing to invest into the lives of people will determine the measure of the harvest that we will receive. That in other words, the more you plant in the kingdom of God, the more you focus on people around you, the more that you will receive from God as with regards to a harvest that comes from Him. Why? Because He is the Lord of the harvest, correct? He is the Lord of the harvest. Someone who isn't willing to plant his seeds in the field cannot expect anything in return. There's no farmer who will look at a field that's been ready for planting and just dream that plants will come or keep speaking to it. Soil, produce. No. He's got to do something after the field is prepared. He's got to take the trouble of planting a seed. Correct? He's got to take the trouble of planting a seed. If you're not willing to plant the seeds in the field of the lives of people, we cannot expect anything back from them. The planting and reaping principle applies even in between a husband and wife. If you're not willing to nurture the seeds that we are planting into our spouse, we cannot expect something back. There will not be a harvest, correct? In order to receive love, you've got to give it. If you give more, the more you give, the more you will receive. The more you plant, the more you will harvest. And so if you're having issues in marriages, tell the husband or the wife, look, are you sowing a lot into your marriage? Are you sowing into your spouse's life? Are you giving of yourself? Not asking all the time. Many times we ask, what's in it for me? Marriage is not about what's in it for me. It's I'm here for your benefit. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to provide for you. I'm here to make sure that you are comfortable, that you have everything you need. Because when you sow that seed of love into somebody else, that somebody else will reciprocate that to you, back to you. And you will have a blessing that comes back. When you plant your seeds of love, of compassion, or you plant your seeds of the gospel of Jesus Christ into the lives of people, you can expect a harvest. It might not come now, but it will come at the right time. Why? Because a seed planted in the ground doesn't sprout overnight. It doesn't bear fruit overnight. It takes time. Amen. It takes time to sprout. It takes time to grow. It takes time to mature. And out of the maturity comes the fruit. Sometimes we just want the fruit, but we don't want to mature. Fruit can only come out of mature trees. And we cannot become mature until we are planted and grounded in the Word of God. Maturity in the Word of God doesn't come through running here and there and just doing stuff in the kingdom. It's about reading the Word of God. It's about standing in faith. It's about believing God for the miracle. It's about walking a life that is productive in God. It's about walking that life of faith in God. It is then that we get mature. When the trials come, when the tribulations come, when we are chastised, when we are challenged in life, when we are put under pressure in life, that's when our faith expands. That's when we become alive in God. Why? Because our humanity then has to bow down to the sovereignty of God and say, God, I'm in this hopeless situation. I'm unable to do it in my own strength. Now, God, I need you. I need you to intervene on my behalf, and I want a miracle right now. That's when faith kicks in and you see God doing something in our lives. If you had everything comfortable, if you had nothing to look forward to, if everything was hunky-dory, well, why do we need God? But when things are not going the right way, don't blame God. Say, thank you, God, you're teaching me something. You're teaching me something. And that's why I said the two things we focus on is what? People. The second one is thanksgiving. So every time we are faced with an issue or a problem, let's say, thank you, God, you're teaching me something in this scenario. Teach it to me. Let me learn quickly. Let me learn quickly. You don't want to go like the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. The promised land was just there over the Jordan, just there. They could see it, but they could never have it. Why? Because they were just murmuring and grumbling, and God did so much in their lives, but they never were thankful. Let's not be a people like that, because we keep rotating in the wilderness, walking around and around and around, not going anywhere. But we want to be a people this year who are focused. We know where we're going. This is where we're heading towards. We're working, we're going to work with people. We're going to do it with thankful hearts. Amen? That's what we're going to do. So let me give some examples of where we should be sowing in our lives. Where should we be sowing? And so let's start with our families first. Is that okay? Yeah, we can start with our families. The question is, are we sowing into our families? Are we sowing love? Are we sowing compassion? Are we sowing honesty? Are we sowing into the lives of those in our own family? Are we willing to sacrifice things? Sacrifice our time for the sake of our children? You know, because they need the parents around them. You know, they need advice. They need counsel. Are we willing to put all that in? That could be one of the areas that we could be sowing into our lives. It could be teaching them God's word, because they need to know the word of God. How will someone know if they're not being taught? And so we need to teach them the word of God. Are we investing in our children? Investing time to encourage them, to teach them the things of God and the things that pertain to the church. What about our neighbors? We can sow into our neighbors. We can sow love and consideration. How about the church? The church is not this building. The church is us here. We are the church. How about this? How about going the extra mile to serve somebody, to be a blessing to somebody. How about sacrificing, you know, some time on an evening and say, look, why don't you come over to my place? I'll make you some dinner. Or you know, let's meet up for coffee somewhere. You know, let's have a chat somewhere. Or let me pray for you. You know, do you have a need that I can minister to? You know, how about just being a blessing to the church? How about being a blessing and saying, okay, you know, I have some time on my hands. What can I do? How can I serve the house of God? How can I be a blessing? What about in our jobs? How are we sowing into our employment? Are our employers pleased with what we are doing? Or are we just doing a slipshod, half-hearted job? Are we diligent and faithful, always doing our best for our employer? Something to think about. You and I, we have a guaranteed harvest. Amen? It's coming. And let's make sure that we plant good seeds, that we are focused on the community around us, because then we know God will bring a great harvest in our lives. This is the second one. The other important thing that we take from that scripture is that we got to operate by the Spirit of God. We have to start and operate by the Spirit of God. It says, but the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the groweth work in him, harvests a crop of real life. Letting God's Spirit do the work in him. The Holy Spirit, what does he do? He guarantees eternal life and life to the full. When we sow into the things of the Spirit and operate through the Holy Spirit, we are assured of a life that is to the full. Not half measures, but a full, wholesome life. Why? Because we are working our lives through the Holy Spirit of God. How important is the person of the Holy Spirit? He's the third person of the Trinity. We often forget that the Holy Spirit is God himself. That's why God, in the beginning of Genesis, you will see when God created man, he said, let us make man. Who was there at the beginning? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were present. What was the Spirit of God doing? If you read Genesis 1 and verse 1, it says the Spirit of God was just hovering over the face of the waters. That's the Holy Spirit. When you get a word from God, who speaks? The Holy Spirit speaks to us and gives us a word. And Jesus, he put so much emphasis on the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Read John 14, chapter 14, 16 to 17. He promised his disciples before he left this earth that he will send another comforter or another savior. And he says this, 16 of John 14, I will ask the Father, Jesus is speaking there, and he will give you another helper, comforter, or savior who will be with you forever. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit of God is with us forever and ever. Is that forever? Yes. Absolutely. That helper is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it doesn't see or know him. The world can't accept him. They don't know the Holy Spirit of God. You and I, who've been born again through Jesus Christ our Lord, who've experienced salvation for ourselves in our lives, we know that God has changed our lives. Jesus impacted our lives. We then understand who the Holy Spirit is, because salvation comes by the Holy Spirit. It's not a physical transformation. It's an inward transformation that is seen outwardly. It's Spirit reaching out to the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit reaching out to the spirit of man. Why? Because we are a tripartite being. We are spirit, soul, and we live in a body. The spirit man always responds to a deity, correct? That's why people go after gods. Otherwise, there'll be no reason to go after gods or some higher being, as some would say. It's a spirit man that does that. So we know God, how God has created us. If we are to impact the lives of people, it cannot be done by our own efforts, our own charisma, our own personality, or our own strength. It has to be done through the Holy Spirit. Amen? It has to be done through the Holy Spirit. It says there in the scripture, you know him because he lives with you and will be in you. Hallelujah. He lives with you. Tell your neighbor, he lives with you and he's in you. In John's Gospel chapter 15, Jesus said this, when we abide in him and he in us, we bear much fruit, for without him, we can do nothing. When we abide in him and he abides in us, we bear much fruit, for without him, we can do nothing. So it is pointless trying to put something on if the Holy Spirit ain't there. It will be absolutely useless. Jesus commanded his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promised Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, correct? Why? It was because it was through him, through the Holy Spirit, that they would receive power to be witnesses. You can only be a witness for Jesus when you have the Holy Spirit empowering you. You can walk this life of faith in Jesus when you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, enabling you. Every day you can wake up with a song of praise and shout of praise unto God when the Holy Spirit is alive in you. Because the word says he will never leave you nor forsake you. It's you and I who forsake God because of, as I prayed earlier, when the enemy puts a thought in our mind and prompts us to ignore God, to deny God, and say, God is not here. Look at the trouble you're in. Look at the state you're in. How can you believe in a God who loves you and cares for you? Would he allow you to go through all of these things? The state of the world is not because of God. It's because of humanity. We have destroyed our own world, correct? We've taken what God has divinely blessed and given, and we've adulterated it, messed up with the natural things that God has put in place. And so we are reaping out of that. And so we can't blame God for that. Thank God he gave us brains. Unfortunately, we use our brains sometimes to, you know, do some stupid things. In Acts, you read how bold the disciples became soon after they encountered the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, we'll tell you about that. And soon after that experience with the Holy Spirit, what happened? Peter preached and 3,000 were saved. Stephen saw heavens open. He didn't think about the people stoning him. He saw the heavens open. Look at Apostle Paul. He had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. What happened? His life was changed just like that. He received the Holy Spirit into his life. You and I want to change in our lives. We got to have the Holy Spirit in us. We got to have a visitation from the Holy Spirit. We got to have an encounter of the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you in my life. I need power in my life. And the power source is the Holy Spirit. He is the power, is the mitochondria we talk about in our bodies as the powerhouse of the human body. The mitochondria in the spiritual realm is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who can charge you up. He's the one who is with you always. He's the one who gives you a word in season. He's the one who operates in you, who gives you signs and wonders and miracles. He's the one who is able to discern what's happening out there before something happens and warn you and tell you, look, don't go down that road or don't go to that place or be aware of this person here. He's the one who can protect you and shield you because the enemy is prowling around like a roaring lion waiting to devour, in other words, gobble up people who are misled. That's what the enemy is doing. But the Spirit of God will warn you. He will say, be careful. He said, don't go down that road. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Peter and John at the gate, beautiful. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. What did they tell the lame man? Get up and walk. Many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. By whom? By the power of the Holy Spirit. I want us this year to be so conscious of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Not taking for granted, but say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with me. And I receive your power. I receive the anointing that comes from you. I receive strength for today. Whatever I face today is not faced by you. But I receive it so that I can face it boldly and say, through my God, I can. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a glimpse of what and where your harvest is. And to give you a laborer's heart. so that God can send you as a laborer into his harvest. You and I, we are laborers. I can put up a big title and call myself bishop, pope, pastor, mega pastor, you know, double mega, I don't know, premium, platinum, whatever you want to call it. At the end of the day, you and I are laborers. Say it aloud. I am a
laborer.
Hallelujah. In the kingdom of God. We are all equal. You know, there's equality. People are fighting for equality. In Jesus, there's always, he says, there's no Greek, no Jew, no male, no female. What is he saying there? You're all one in Christ. Wow. If people are fighting for equality, tell them, if you come through into Christ, you'll have equality. There's no hierarchy there. There's no hierarchy. I'm the pastor, I don't stand up here and tell you, this is how you must do things. But when I speak to people, I come with an encouraging word. I say, look, the Spirit of God will enable you. He will help you, but you got to put your life in his hands. And sometimes we bring a word of correction because that's what we have to do. Because I can't say if somebody's going the wrong way, somebody's deliberately sinning, if somebody I know is going the wrong path, I can't just sit back and say, Lord, just bless him. I got to go and say, excuse me, sir, madam, that path you're taking is ungodly. That doesn't compute with the Holy Spirit. And we got to make sure that we, like I said last week, iron sharpens iron. So sometimes we can have a word that can come across quite harsh. But you know, Jesus as well, he didn't put up with nonsense, did he? He didn't. Even to Peter, I'm not going all over time, look at the time there. Even to Peter, he said, get behind me, because he was in the way of Christ going to the cross. God is looking for a people who are willing to prioritize his kingdom and serve him with all their mind, their heart, their soul, and their strength. God is looking for a people who are willing to obey his voice and go into his harvest. So my encouragement to you is this, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't leave that race that you are running. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is empowering you every day to run that race. Don't give up on the family of God. Don't give up on your fellow family of God in this place. For your season for a breakthrough in the harvest is here. Your season for a breakthrough is here. And I'm just encouraging you that if you feel that this is the house that God has positioned you in, then I want you to tell yourself, look, God's placed me here. I'm not going to run around. I'm not going to be vacillating here and there, because I want God to plant me here so that I can grow in the house of the Lord. I want to produce some fruit. See, if you are uprooting yourself and you're planting yourself in different places, different churches, 1 week here, next week here, next month you're there, 3 months later you want to go here or there or everywhere else, then nothing is going to come out of it. Why? Because if you keep uprooting yourself and planting somewhere else, fruit's not going to come, because maturity is not going to come. And so my encouragement to you is, if you really know that this is where God has positioned you, then you tell yourself, God, until you say I go, I will not leave. I'm going to stay put till you bless me, like we heard this morning. God, till you tell me to go, till your presence goes with me, I'm not leaving, because I want to go with your presence. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I hope this message has blessed you today, and that you're taking back with you something that of the presence and the power of God in your lives. Remember, it's all about people. It's all about the harvest. It's all about having a thankful heart. It's all about reaching out to people on the outside and blessing them. It's not about me. It's about you. Jesus loves you. He does. He has a great plan for your life. And you know what? Only Jesus can go into those dark places, and only he can turn it around and lighten it up with his power. He can lighten the load. He can remove that load that's on you, that heaviness. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus can save you from sin, because he died on the cross of Calvary for you, and he shed his blood for you. And he can surround you with his love and his power. He died for you and he rose again just for you. Hallelujah. The question is, will you trust Jesus? you trust Him? Will you say, God, even in the midst of the valley of things that are happening around me, even in my desperation, God, I still will trust You. I still will hold on to You. Because it's not about the mountaintop. It's great to be up there. But it is how we pursue Christ in the valley. When all the odds are against us. And this morning, I just want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. That if you do not know Jesus Christ in your heart, if you do not know Him personally, like most of us here know Christ personally, then you can pray this prayer and you can say, Jesus, I've heard something about You today. Jesus, I realize I need You. So God, I give my life to You. I repent of all the stuff, the sin, and the stuff that's been going on in my life. I repent of all of them. And I ask You, Jesus, to forgive me. And right now I receive Your forgiveness and Your love. And I want to walk with You every day of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. No matter what I've done, no matter where I've been, Your grace is always more than enough. You always lift me up. Let's sing that song. No matter. How I fall. Thank You, Jesus. You always pick me up. You have removed my shame. You take me just as I am.